Over the past 35 years, CIUT.FM, the volunteer-powered radio station in the heart of Toronto, has trained thousands of volunteers. Our charity-run station focuses on giving students and community members the tools to share their passion for music and their city. Support the sound of your city and our charity. Please donate at CIUT.FM.
CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Here we are, the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and Phil Conlon will probably be with me. He may be, you might actually get him on the phone. This is when the hour, the moment when we want to support the great station. We're going to have a week of fundraising, and guess what? We're looking for $100,000, so help us out at any moment you feel like doing so. And we want to make sure we do our part today. Everybody knows this is alternative radio. This is where you hear people and music that is very hard to get elsewhere because it's not driven by the interest of promoters and bankers, etc. You can call us up just to get me out of this business speaking too much. It's 416-946-7800. And if you're out of town, you can call us from 1-888-204-8976 and donate to the great station CIUT, mentioning, if you would, the Taylor Report. And, of course, the best way, the most efficient of all, is to go to CIUT.FM. And donate, and there will be an opportunity to name your favorite show or shows. And you can also call us again. You can go to CIUT.FM, donate, and, of course, call us at 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976, and it's $89.50 to become a member. And but any amount, listen, every amount counts. I wish I could remember now. There's a great song about how to raise money. Basically, the line is, money can't. Now I'm going to have to do the Ray Charles thing, Money Honey. But anyhow, I want to remind you what we do. Last week, for example, we had Zafar Bengash, and the world is very concerned about places like Afghanistan and Pakistan. And Zafar Bengash, Crescent International, who is really intimately aware of what is going on, speaks the language, is himself from Pakistan, but has lived and followed all the political events in the region, and it is a very dynamic region, Afghanistan, Iran, we've had this dramatic moment of the attempted assassination of the former prime minister, probably the most popular prime minister in modern times, someone who came out of the field of athletics. He's a great cricket player, internationally renowned, and he had, therefore, credibility with the mass of the Pakistan population, which is looking for a fresh approach, and one separate and independent of the various parties. And he helped create a really great, powerful movement. Zafar spoke about that and the fact that Imran Khan had very dramatically underline what his problems of his country are, and primarily he says it is, of course, diktat coming from the West, and he underlined it in a speech in which he said that he was visited by diplomats, U.S. and British primarily, who told him what they wanted him to do, expected him to do. And he said, instead of keeping that to himself, he went before the people of Pakistan and said, I asked them, do you think we are your slaves? And when he said that, that really galvanized the population. Actually, it somewhat electrified the world, because here he was talking back to superpowers. Well, of course, not long after that, he got his answer, because there was basically an engineered, I mean, I guess we could call it a parliamentary coup behind which apparently is the army. Well, at any rate, I point out that the Taylor Report was able to provide really an exceptional individual, Zafar Bangash, which is why we say to you, please, if you would, call us up and make a donation. You can call us at 416-946-7800, or if you're abroad or across Canada from us, you can call us at 1-888-204-8976. And I guess we can say what our goal is. We want to make at least $1,000. We're what they call drive time, which is, I like that. That's a very cool term, drive time, because, you know, I'm an ex-Marine. I like the idea of momentum. I'm hitting the ground, running. Otherwise, you fall on your face. We like to show we know that our listeners value the exceptional programming across the board at CIUT, from folks like Democracy Now! And all the music that you can get here on this station that you can't get otherwise. And programs like recent Eve Engler, who is on top of a story, which is very important for Canadians. And everybody really needs to know, because the Secretary of the United States paid a visit to Canada, and everybody, of course, is in awe that one of the ministers from the greatest power on earth decided to come and visit. And he came with a specific request, and that was that Canada help provide muscle to resolve a crisis that is taking place in Haiti. And Eve Engler pointed out that the crisis, the problems of that country, can be traced back to Canada, straight to Ottawa, where there were meetings many years ago to remove the most popular elected official. It sounds like I'm talking about Imran Khan again, doesn't it? The most popular politician in Haitian history, Aristide, who was the president, a meeting was held in Ottawa, attended by always the United States, but Canada was very proud that it hosted. And what they did was talk about how they're going to remove Aristide. And they did it. And the people of Haiti, who, it's a very poor country, and they have a lot of problems with violence and all these things, but primarily because they have a presence among them, the Haitians. They've been having this for ever since, I guess it was, I hate to say this, the United States Marines, I think, went there and, they've been there several times, but they were at 1912, 14, something like that, and then again in 32, I think they bulked up. But it's Haiti's problems are traceable to the fact that the Haitian Revolution has never quite been accepted because it was a slave revolution. Certainly the mass of the population had been slaves and rose up against being slaves, and they had to fight several powers. And even in particular, you might say the ones who claimed to be coming to their rescue, because they, as often happens, particularly in the case of U.S. history, they come to rescue and they don't go home. And now Eve Engler very eloquently went into this matter. He has written about this. He has a new book, by the way, on Canadian military. I hope people will get that. But again, that's what you hear on the Taylor Report, and I know it's appreciated, so please call us at 416-946-7800 or from out of town, 1-888-204-8976. And you can, and of course, the step to take that is most simple and direct is go to CIUT.FM and donate. CIUT.FM, donate. Please mention your favorite shows. We hope you include among them the Taylor Report. So going and further on what we've been addressing, I would say the Taylor Report is very unique, really, practically in North America, for discussing Africa, and specifically we have focused on Rwanda because lawyers such as John Philpott, David Jacobs, and others from Canada have been part of our show, been talking about, the role of Canada at the International Criminal Court, which was abused. The concept of international court was abused by the ad hoc nature of the one set up in Arusha, Tanzania. This has been really thoroughly addressed on the Taylor Report. And we've been staying with it. One of the things that goes wrong, in my opinion, in most media, is that there's a kind of a fashion in stories. In other words, what's hot at the moment, and so they go with a story. But if you pick up your paper or go on the net a week later, it has disappeared, and it may not come back for 3 or 4 years, yet, of course, all the people involved remain there, and their problems remain. We've spoken to Victoire Ngabire on this program at CIUT. Victoire Ngabire is now an international figure and about whom there is great, for whom there is great respect because she returned to her country having lived abroad. She has several degrees. She's a very accomplished and well-educated individual, but she wanted to return to her country. She had not been present in 1994, the great year, which is kind of the dividing line for political squabbles. She was, she wanted to follow the claim that it was act on the claim that there was now a constitution and a democracy functioning. So she said, well, if there's a functioning democracy, I would like to go there. I would like to be, as a Rwandan, make a contribution to the democratization process. So she returned to Rwanda, and not long after, when she had made a couple of three political points, they decided that was enough from her, and she was arrested. She spent a long time in prison. I would say she still is in prison in the sense that she is under basic house arrest, that situation. And the Taylor Report and CIUT, through the CIUT, the Taylor Day Report is able to interview her, to talk to her supporters abroad, and to try to make sure that she's, number one, safe, but also that her message, political message, gets out. And so if you, and I know you do appreciate this, go to CIUT.fm and donate and mention the Taylor Report. And if you want to call us at, and make a, that donation known, or if you want to call to make a donation, 416-946-7800. And if you're out of town, 1-888-204-8976. And thank goodness for the internet. CIUT.fm, donate. Isn't that simple? And then just have your credit card ready and make sure you actually have some money. But the station is going for $100,000, and that shows that this is a a motivated operation, looking for to do more and better in the coming period. So call us up, 416-946-7800. I had my foot against the door, but Conlon managed to get in, so he's going to join us in a moment. I just have a wrenched knee. But anyway, 1-888-204-80. I shouldn't write these things out. It's right on the wall. 8976. But basically, go to CIUT.fm, donate. That's Phil's phone talking. Phil, are you with us? Say something in the mic.
Something in the mic.
There you go. That's enough of that. All right, let's move on. I mentioned, you know, Victoire Ingabire, I'm going to, another, think about this. One of the guests that we used to have on the show is now in prison in Rwanda. He was Paul Rusesabagina. If you saw the movie Hotel Rwanda, the hero of the film, given a Medal of Freedom Award at the White House by one of the Bushes, Bush the Little, I guess. And but the government of Rwanda, and I believe conniving with the governments of Belgium, I'm going to make a loose accusation. I'll go to court if they would like. The government of Belgium and the United States, I believe, actually connived, but he was captured. He was stung is the word. They tricked him.
Well, it was kind of a kidnapping, right?
Because, it was a kidnapping.
Yeah.
He should, and the government, all the U.S. had to do was pick up the phone and say, release him. Yeah. He was a resident, legal resident of the United States. He's a citizen of Belgium. But because of great power politics, and I hate to say this, but that's just the truth, is that great power politics, when they have a friendly relations with an unsavory government, by the way, they themselves being more unsavory, right. Let's get our dialectic functioning.
Right.
They, the great power, the unsavory great power, speaking to their unsavory friend, of their, they will not call and say, release Paul Rusesabagina. Right. And Rusesabagina was one of our, the Taylor Report, sources of what's the reality of the country. And again, I remind you, he was declared a hero. Certainly what he did was very brave. I would say you should look into the story of Paul Rusesabagina. He's always been truthful about what he thought about the country. And once he became, kind of well-known, they decided they had to shut him down. But until then, they were using him as a kind of a propaganda story to buttress that government. But he didn't care to be used in that way. So they decided to, instead of using him, they decided to abuse him. So they put him away. Phil, you're looking at paper.
Yeah, no, news. I want to read a list of names of people who called to contribute to the Taylor Report.
Please do. I'm interrupting.
We want to thank Ken and his wife, Kay. Thank you very much. We want to thank Tony, and we want to thank Tina. Now, we got all those calls, one right after the other. So
All right.
So, but we want people to keep calling. Or you can go online, call us and say you're going to donate online, but we want to have your name.
We like that record.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, Phil, you know, calling people unsavory is a very surprising a person said that today. It was a senior official of the Turkish government when the Americans offered condolences over the terrorist bombing in Turkey.
In Turkey.
Yes. And they said, "We know the author of this event and we do not accept the United States' apology." I thought, well, that was really...
Well, that's poignant.
You're not supposed to say that.
This is another one of another Imran Khan. Is this another leader who thinks that he can actually talk back? See, I think they do have a talk back problem.
Yeah.
They have been peddling the story that the free world, there is such a thing, they claim, and that they lead it. And so, if a leader of another country says, "Well, my country is a democracy," and by the way, I'd love to see the Canadian government say it's not. Try that on him, but. In the case of Erdogan, he says, "Hey, listen, I don't like this Ukraine-Russia thing, and I want to see it settled, and I don't like the way the NATO is going about this." He also says he doesn't like Sweden and Finland because people who are terrorists
live
in those countries and attend public meetings and sort of. So that isn't funny.
Yeah.
To the government of Turkey.
I think actually one of them is in the Swedish legislature, which really bothers the Turks quite a bit.
Indeed. Are you saying the Finnish or
the
Swedish?
The Swedish.
Yes. Incidentally, Erdogan, you see, he's a lot of the... This is what happened when you have a world of sovereign countries. Mm. They have different points of view and different style of leadership. America is a homogenizer. You guys all got to look and sound like us. You have to dress like us, by the way. They have their own dress codes, or they'll make fun of you. But so they have a standard thing, and the slightest, to put it another word, it appeal to your Phil has a show, Classical Underground. If you sing out of tune, the director will point at you.
That's a great analogy. That's right.
He may turn the lights out and come over and mug you.
The trouble is the guy who's analyzing your tune himself is tone deaf, you see? So that's the problem, right? He thinks you're out of tune when you're being perfectly fine and reasonable, right?
Yeah. So, thanks, Phil, for bringing that story. I had not heard that, but One the thing that you appreciate about Erdogan is that he actually is an authentic individual. He's just a little problematic, is because anytime anybody says, "Oh, I'm with you," it turns out you're not. Okay. That's the way the world's supposed to work. He has his concerns, and he expects them to be respected by other states. But as Zafar Bengash pointed out on this show, there is now a maximum pressure game being organized, and they're going back to the business of color revolutions combined with terrorism, because the two go hand in hand, as in the case of Syria, which is, incidentally, we talk about this also on the Taylor Report. People like Rick Sterling have been on the show, follow it very closely, where the mainstream media is told, publicize these guys, they're all nice liberal folks, and talk about how it's a human rights issue. Meanwhile, we're going to arm a bunch of terrorists. Please remember, I'm sure anybody who ever saw it will never forget those photographs of the terrorists in Syria, the ISIS gang, cutting heads off people and bragging. I mean, lining them up and doing it Hollywood style, what they call it, high-value production, where the topic is murder. And this was used in Libya, By the way, Viagra has been come up in the case of the story about Ukraine. Remember that in Libya is where they first introduced this cockamamie story that Viagra was distributed to troops. They now acknowledge that was all bunk.
Well, and in fact, the person who was spreading the story, who was a rapporteur, so-called, for the United Nations, got pranked the other day by an enterprising journalist. She thought she was talking to an official of the Ukrainian government, and she told him, "Well, no, we don't have any evidence at all that happened. There's no evidence." Yeah. And it came out of her own mouth.
Yes, that's the worst. You know, if you want to really show somebody up, that's the way to do it. Those guys have great gifts. Yeah. By the way, this to remind you, and why we're discussing all these things is you need to support CIUT in the Taylor Report at 89.5 FM. But go to CIUT.fm and donate. And it's $89.50 for a membership, right, Phil?
$89.50 gets
but
you a membership.
Look, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 would be perfectly
right.
It will be accepted.
$250 gets you a 2-hour show.
I shouldn't have.
You said
I went over the
you
top.
You said $200,000.
I went over the top.
That's perfectly fine because if somebody gave the
we're going to do that this year. We're going to go beyond
$200,000. Then that would be wonderful for the station.
Absolutely.
And it would help the station modernize some of its equipment, which it's in the process of
this
doing.
This all the real stuff here.
Yeah.
I should tell. I mean, this is a station. I've lived with its progression. I can remember coming in to do a show and holding one piece of a headset against my ear and then, walking around trying to find the mic that worked, you know. So this is... I grew up in poverty.
That at that time it was a low-wattage station and it could only be heard within about a couple of miles radius of downtown Toronto.
We're heard now in Windsor at the Quebec border. But when you say that, by the way, we used to have a trucker, a good trucker. Yeah. There are bad truckers. There was a good trucker, a real one, by the way. He was a union guy, and he worked for wages as opposed to owning a fleet and calling himself a trucker. That's like a guy who owns an airline, and you think he's the pilot?
Yeah.
No, he's not the pilot. So anyhow, this trucker liked our show, and so when he was going south to in Windsor, he would call, say, "Hi, I'm in Windsor." He'd call the station, and then he would say, "Oh, hi, I'm in Barrie, and I'm hearing you." And then, Quebec border, "I'm hearing you." So we knew.
And now, of course, the station has quite a reach like that. And, of course, because it could also be picked up on the internet, the reach is the world, right?
Yes. We have some listeners in Africa, many, by the way. And we have all over the globe. So go to CIUT.fm and donate. Or call us at 416-946-7800. And out of town, if you are one of those in Rwanda, we have some listeners in Rwanda. Something tells me some of those are probably not our friends. But anyhow, if the state gives you the money to do it, go ahead and call us at 1-888-204-8976. We talk about this in Rwanda. It is one of the things we've done particularly well. I'm very proud of the Taylor Report. And one of the people we have interviewed is Robin Philpott, who has written two books, I believe, on Rwanda. And he has an article in the latest issue of Covert Action. I think that's the name of it.
Yes, that's the name of the magazine, yes.
If you're not familiar with Covert Action, it's an excellent publication. You can go online and find it, I believe. He's written a very important article about the tie-in between the ad hoc tribunals on former Yugoslavia and of Rwanda and the conflict, I'm going to call it, between Ukraine and Russia, because there are those who are trying to involve the International Criminal Court in that matter. And some of the people, one of the judges, Judge Mose, who I have met a couple of three times. I have to say, I have to quote this. I was once sitting in the courtroom next to Ed Medveen, a really brilliant, an American lawyer now passed, who, and Judge Mose looked over and said, "Who's that handsome man with you?" That, he was referring to me, which shows you he has poor eyesight. But anyhow, he did say that. So I know something about Judge Mose. And
I don't even want to go there, what he was talking about. But
what do you... Well, that's very interesting. I have to explore that. But anyhow, that tells you that you need to go to Covert Magazine. You need to read this article by Robin Philpott. What it does is go into the matter of how a bad precedent in terms of courts, international, so-called international courts, and by the way, they had that lovely term ad hoc, and you could say ad hockey because it was, and it, the, those ad hoc courts has become the springboards for little careers as human rights judges and human rights this and human rights that. And so this judge, who's from a NATO country, Norway, is now, he made paid a little visit to Ukraine, and then he issued a finding, or kind of, I mean, the media could pretend there was some kind of finding. No kind of finding. He didn't investigate anything. He was there for 10 days or seven, and all he did was report what somebody told him. Well, that would be what one side in that conflict told him. That he's really abusing the label judge to engage in that kind of conduct. And where his credentials are, well, you see, he's from the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, where he was the president of the court. Well, we've talked on this show about the fact that there are innocent people, innocent men and women, who have been found not guilty by his court when he was the president, who are still in custody. And they're in custody because the United Nations dropped the ball on what to do with people if they're acquitted. As Robin said on, Philpott said on his show, they didn't anticipate anybody would be acquitted. But you know, in order to be a court, they decided they had to have some acquittals. They went, by the way, the first year or two, it was convict, 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 convict. But then they began to kind of settle in and say, well, actually, that guy is, you know, there's nothing. In one or two cases, the person had not been in the country at the time of the alleged crime.
Well, that would be a clear indication of not being guilty, wouldn't it?
That's a pretty strong sign that he didn't actually do it. I knew one of those, General Kabilegi. I hope I got his name right. A bit of a while, but he was I'm going to call him a handsome guy.
Okay,
won't cause you to suspect anything.
No, we'll accept that.
I was there when he stepped into the courtroom, when the first time anybody saw him, and he was one of those most serious kind of accusations being made about him, and he was completely unperturbed, I think because he knew something the court didn't know. He was not in the country at the time, but he let them tell him, okay, there's a charge and all that. And he said there was, they said, how do you plead? And he said, there wasn't a genocide, there was a war. Not guilty. And that was his only words. And then years went by before he finally went to trial. Years he was in custody.
He was in custody.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He never, I don't think Kabilegi ever made it home. Again, what did we reveal on the Taylor Report was that these individuals, there's eight of them now in Niger, and they're basically in a kind of a house arrest situation. They have no rights. They have no papers. And Judge Mose is out touring around Ukraine being quoted as a credible judge. I have an ethical issue with him. I don't understand. I know, why do people jump over the ethics side of it? You presided over a court where individuals were found not guilty, and they are sitting in a boiling, ugly situation in Niger. These are elderly people by now, by the way, most of them. And you're not at the forefront of getting them out of there? Instead, you're visiting Ukraine and having your picture taken? That means to me, you want a career. You want to be famous. So you want people to stroke you and say, oh, he cares about human rights. No, you don't care a nickel about it. You put people in those prisons, and then you fly off back to white Europe, and you don't care. That's my problem with him. And I wish we could meet again. I'd be happy to tell him again, or tell him that. Anyway, we're a long way from reminding you, this is your big chance to support the great little station, CIUT, the Taylor Report. And so go to CIUT.fm or call us 416-946-7800. And from abroad or anywhere else, anywhere you like, I guess you could be in town and make the call. Call us at 1-888-204-8976 and help us out. 89. You started 89.50, but we are looking to push it up to 1,000 and more, maybe 2, maybe 3.
That would be a great goal for the Taylor Report. Help make the $100,000 that CIUT wants to raise this fundraising
week. And if you're an American oligarch,
yeah,
just jump in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just do it.
Well, there are no American oligarchs. No, the oligarchs are in Russia. They have entrepreneurs in America.
Yeah, what do you call this guy, Elon Musk? So he's not
an entrepreneur.
He's an entrepreneur.
Right. His father owned a diamond mine in apartheid South Africa.
And the guy who has a private rocket system?
Right. But he's an entrepreneur. He's not an oligarch.
And okay, well, so one of them is in the papers, as you know.
Right.
The guy who he was a multi-billionaire a week ago, and today he's broke.
Nothing. Yeah, he's broke. Right.
And he's all over the media. And the story, by the way, apropos of oligarchs, Phil, is to point out something. We follow all these things, and we conscientiously try to point out that there is a class system, and that everybody stops saying the 1% run the place, but certainly the monopoly capital people run it. And here you have a case of a guy who gave $5 million to Biden for his last campaign. And he said he was quoted, he's going to give $1 billion to the Democratic Party, he said. In 2024, my guess, you correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, but it's more likely that the guy who gave the Democratic Party $1 billion will listen to him rather than to you, right? I mean, wild guess.
Yeah. I've given a couple of dollars to the Democratic Party now and then, but people I gave it to, I called them up and I just said, why are you voting to all this money on weapons? They didn't answer me. You know, that's just
they'll call you again.
But no, they did. They did call me again. They wanted more money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with asking for money if you've got our kind of credibility, and we're for peace and we're for diplomacy,
Phil,
which
can
is
I make?
Fairly subversive. Hey, Greg and Yarka, thank you very much. Always glad to see those names.
And we have Kenneth and Aaron. And I'm going to try to pronounce this right, Alatu Konbo. And thank you very much, all three of you, for these contributions. Phil, can I mention a name of a person we haven't had in the studio in a while, but maybe it's time for him to come back, and that's Professor Harry Glasbeek, who published a great article today about Doug Ford.
Where will I find this article?
Canadian Dimension. He's like an old professor, and he cleared the air on exactly what went on at the Ontario legislature with the Doug Ford taking away people's constitutional rights and then giving them back because workers said we might go on strike. And so that got Doug all flustered. And so he said, oh, yeah, we didn't mean it. Sorry. It's all good, folks. But Harry cuts through, all the bull crap with a knife. And he just explains, what's going on and how it's going
Harry
on.
Harry is, yes, brilliant professor and a writer. We've had, of course, as you say. He has that disturbing tendency to use the word capitalism.
Yes. He does.
He notices that when they boast about the system, they always say we're capitalists. So he reminds him they're capitalists. But then they say, well, what are you, a leftist? Because, see, the wrong person pronouncing the word capitalist can get in a lot of trouble. If you're at the Rotary Club, it will be okay. But if you are, you know, standing in front of a crowd of unemployed workers,
it's rude.
Don't
say that. Right,
that's very rude.
Yeah.
That's very rude. Hey, www.ciut.fm, donate. And I want to point out that we always remind that we have a tradition with some really outstanding people who have been supporters of the station and have contributed a lot to in their area. And one of them is Stan Babbitt, who is no longer with us. Babbitt was a solid supporter of the show and of CIUT. He always had a CIUT T-shirt. Stan has been gone for a year, but his spirit definitely lives on. He was a garment worker. He's also merchant marine in World War II. Someone who, when there was demonstration against racism or exploitation of people, promoters of war and their protests, Stanley would be there. So it was, if you're contributing or should, think about guys like Stan and support CIUT and support the Taylor Report. CIUT.fm, donate and mention the Taylor Report. And the numbers to call are 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976. We do have oligarchs.
That's what a shock.
Taylor Report's doing everything it can to fix that. You heard about this guy. I can't say his name. It's Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried.
Sam.
Yes.
Oh, Sam
Bankman-Fried. Bankman-Fried. I like the Bankman part. That's
boy, you know, every once in a while, it's kind of like people said, made off with the money.
Right.
Okay. But anyhow.
Bankman freed you of your wealth.
Yeah, freed him. The Globe and Business section today has a very interesting point about this, but they didn't highlight it. But to me, it was very striking. They say that there is, this is probably not so much money compared to what he had, half a billion, $575 million, has gone missing. And because this is the electronic business, you can track these things, some can, and one of the places it passed through was something called Kraken. Are you a Kraken man?
I know this.
Are you into Kraken?
I'm not into Kraken because if I can't explain how it works, I'm not going to invest in it.
That's a very good point, which it means you don't invest, does it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the part that got me. Globe and Mail, business section, check it out. In the middle of the story, they say that, people who are starting to worry about this because there are 100,000 creditors looking for their money.
I saw that figure.
100,000. So anyhow, they noticed that after the announcement of the bankruptcy, half a billion went out the back door somehow. But you can kind of track it. So the name Kraken came up because Kraken would be, I guess we can use the word laundering. Anyway, they were asked, and they said, we know who that is. They said that. So then the Globe or their business, the story said, they were asked, can you help us out on this? Incidentally, they were asked by FTX, the company. They were asked, can you give us something more on that? And they said they did not immediately reply. So thank you very much. So I would say, let's get rid of the word immediately. Did they reply? Did not immediately reply? Okay, can you check back? My guess is they ain't going to reply, but they know. And this is where it comes in. You know, We say on the show, we need a People's Democratic Republic. We actually say that. Where we want to know that the people in charge are not people who receive $1 billion in donation to their party, you know? We want the people to have an absolute right to scrutinize all that and to say to Mr. Kraken's company, don't say you don't, just answer right now, bingo, like that. Because we may send this guy to jail, or may send you to jail. We might, you know, we want to, you're aware, Phil, that in the People's Democratic Republic of China, which, let's just say, is one of the great economic success stories of the late 20th and now the 21st century, is a booming success story. I don't care what the naysayers at the Times and Globe, anybody can read numbers, knows it's a great success. But one of the reasons they are is that when they say they're anti-corruption, they don't play. There have been bankers, I'm sorry to say, I don't believe in capital punishment. However, I do smile slightly when I find out that among the executed are bankers who've been, you know, caught taking money from one place to another.
And you know, that's spreading too, because the Vietnamese as well, which is a government that came to power through, you know, sacrifice and tears, found some of their bankers doing the same things, and it had the same results. Mm-hmm. But of course, here they make a hero out of you, right?
Absolutely. Hey, I got news here. Jacob Leibovich donated $100. In memory of Peter Leibovich, his father, and a longtime supporter of the show. And I'm thank goodness he gave me the prompt and reminder, something I have here in my notes, that Peter Leibovich, who's a legend in the labor movement and in all the most important struggles of, I'd say, the past 50 years. It was called Sir George. Sir George Williams, wasn't it?
Sir George Williams, which was the name of what is now called Concordia. Yes, that was what it was called.
He was a student there when the famous struggle was led by black students took place. And he told me that he had a, this, by the way, will really be a private story, but I will share it with you. He said he had he took an instant Marxism class. You know, they had teach-ins and classes all the time in socialism from Ann Cools, presently a senator, friend of Pierre Trudeau. But anyway, by the way, a nice person. She's a very brave person. Yeah. She spoke out on behalf of...
Do you know, Phil, that this past month or
she
so...
She spoke out on behalf of Rwandans opposing ad hoc tribunal because it was only prosecuting one side in an armed conflict.
Well,
which is
good for her.
Is the sin of sins, in my opinion, if you're going to use the word justice. Yeah. Go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry.
The university, which now calls itself Concordia, this week issued an apology. It said, we did not listen when you were bringing information to us about racism among the faculty. Yes, they're talking about 1969, I think it is.
They did not get back immediately.
Yeah, that's right. There's an example of not getting back immediately. Well, we got back to them. So this is what, 55 years later? They've now acknowledged exactly what the people were saying those days. You know, one of the students who was expelled from Canada because of that demonstration went on to become the Prime Minister of the country of Dominica.
He's Douglas.
Yeah.
Was his name Douglas?
Yeah, his name was Rosie Douglas, I think.
Rosie Douglas.
Yeah.
No, and they were banned from returning to Canada.
That's right. These were not just students fooling around. These were serious people, and they had a serious issue, and they were dealt with in the criminal justice system and in the immigration system.
Yes. And Peter Leibovich was in the middle of the solidarity movement with him. He was quite a young fellow at the time.
He was a teenager.
He had a real eye for what is crucial, a roadmap in his head, and he knew where he wanted to be. And out of all that, he evolved into a tremendous figure in the labor movement, and he was very active NDP. And just a terrific individual.
You know, before Peter was with the steelworkers, he was with the postal workers. And they went on strike one year.
Ron Neswek.
Right.
Barry Strom.
great names. They confronted
the, who was that character?
Bryce Mackesy, I think, was the publisher.
Well, there was him, but there was an editor of the Toronto Sun.
Oh, Peter Worthington. Oh, yes,
Peter Worthington, right. Former military guy. Right.
I just saw somebody in the press, and I said, "Well, thank you for remembering." When people talk about maternity leave, as if you know, it's now actually a right in Ontario that a worker who becomes pregnant is entitled to a leave of absence and her job back. Well, this was a demand that those postal workers brought up, and Mr. Worthington said, "This is the most ridiculous demand of all. This will bankrupt the country."
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, his. His economic expertise came from his time in the military, so he knew, and which means you were publicly paid all your life.
Right.
And he was brass. And, I wasn't brass, so I have not a lot of respect for that. But he also said he was going to break the strike. Yeah. He was going to lead. He said, "Meet me." I think it was at Bay and Front Street,
right.
And they were going to cross the picket lines. So Peter Leavitt, Ron Meswak, Karen Snooks, and Barry Strom, et cetera, and others were there. And Peter didn't, Worthington was un-Worthington. He did not show up.
He despite didn't come. He didn't,
all the little, despite the pipes and drums and the little show and you know, how he was, he didn't show. So he's like Rob Ford. It turns out that he, like Ford, had a reverse in his name.
You mean Doug? Doug.
I got.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Well, Rob.
Six of one Ford, half of it.
Right.
There,
yeah.
You know. Yes.
Doug, Rob. Yeah.
So they did not show. Hey, by the way, I mean, of course, we also on this show, and Peter Leavitt's heart would have been so much into this, where the education workers took on Doug, and. That's exactly everything that happened here in the past few days was in line with Peter Leibovich's thinking, which shows you know that ideology, commitment, etc., is a constant. Hey, Dave, we're hearing from David Jacobs and Bryna, and we very much thank you. I mentioned David Jacobs before. He's one of the brave lawyers who I was, of course, working on a case with David Jacobs at Onawanda, and our colleague in that instance was a fellow named Ramsey Clark, who I was told by Clancy Siegel was the greatest attorney general in American history. And Clancy and I didn't agree about it, every last thing. And however, he said that in a when he and I had a conversation, I said, he said, "What have you been doing?" I talked to him. And I mentioned the name Ramsey Clark. I wasn't name dropping. I was trying to establish something had happened I wanted to share with him. Clancy Siegel stared at the floor for a long time, and then he said, "He was the greatest attorney general in American history because, of course, the Civil Rights Act,
right,
which is the one that turned the Democratic Party upside down. Because all the racist elements who had made up the backbone of the party in the South fled the party and became Republicans. We had this, and Lyndon Johnson said that would happen. But he said, "I figure you don't get elected president for nothing. Do something." So he did something. And Attorney General was Ramsey Clark. And Ramsey was a good friend of the Taylor Report.
And appeared on the show many, many times.
So what do you learn from that? Go to CIUT.fm and donate. That's what you learn from
416-946-7800, 1-888-204-8976, or on the website www.ciut.fm and find the donate button. And there you go. And send the money. We're going to raise $100,000 this week. This is the first day of the drive. We'll be doing this all week, and we want all of our listeners to step up and contribute. Of course, if you contribute $25 or more, you get a tax deduction receipt. If you contribute $89.50 or more, you become a member of CIUT, and you get for the fun of coming to the annual meeting, which is...
You
get to come to the annual meeting of...
That's something to look forward to.
Very, very important thing to do.
Get to the annual meeting.
Right. And... I have to say that listeners for the Taylor Report have always been among the strongest supporters of the station. And
they love this station. They came for the report and stayed for the station.
They said,
well, particularly the music is very special. And, of course, your show, Classical Underground, Wednesday 6 to 8.
Thanks for the kind
words. That's high-caliber stuff. We're about to mention Lynn Slotkin and Daniel Garber, on Critics Circle. We have some connection to that, so we know. Right. We ourselves have broadened our understanding of the whole blasted world.
Yes, that's right.
And all you have to do here is just tune in.
And by the way, I want to give a shout-out to Brad, who from Phil's Inn, because he stepped up at the last minute to sit and listen, take our phone calls.
So, great. It's mutual support. We're all for cooperation.
We
believe in
multilateralism. It's an amazing thing about this station is that all the programmers get along with all the other programmers, which is a very, very nice thing.
Knock on plastic. You're absolutely right. So we got about 3 minutes to go, and this is, we remind you again, call us at 416-946-7800, or from out of town, 1-888-204-8976. I want to say the name of Karen Snooks loud and clear because we remember her each year. Each time we do our fundraising, she had been a strong supporter of the show. And she was, of course, among those postal workers. We worked with Peter Leibovich. She was an artist and a tremendous personality. And I know that we do this we hear from Ron Meswick. I haven't seen his name, but I know it's out there. One political note to add today. The Prime Minister went to this ASEAN meeting, and he did something there which, you listen to Taylor Report, you find out about. He used a neologism. On the Taylor Report, you hear words like neologism. He said, we have an Indo-Pacific strategy. That is an insult to the ear. There is no Indo-Pacific except in geographic, marine biology. It's used. It's Joe Biden's tactic, and it's been on the table. They say Indo-Pacific so as not to say Asian Pacific. They don't want to say so quietly and soft. This is called what you call passive aggression. They say, "Oh yeah, we believe in we have an Indo." Pacific strategy. They should not be allowed to say that. It's an aggressive act. And what they're telling you is that we are going to try to split India away from China and preferably have a war between the two. That would be their dream. So I think it is time to say take it easy. And at CIUT.FM, donate and donate and donate and build a great station. We'll see you next week.